This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show is going to be filled with mirth and merriment and information. Neil Coolwong will be on with information. We're not sure yet whether Matt Controllo provides the mirth or the merriment. Any opinion, Todd?
I was going to say a little bit of both. Mirth and merriment.
By the way, I talked to one of your colleagues over at the Daily Item on Saturday.
I heard.
And he said, don't steal them from us. I said, I don't think you have to worry about that.
I'm very easy. So... extra money, a cheeseburger.
Perfect. This half hour of the show being brought to you by NIL Game Changers, your ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities. Get yourself in gear. Get yourself going. Make that next step. And that is go to NILGameChangers.org. So Matt's going to be in the first part of the show today. Just so you know. A message from this station and the Ad Council. Oh, goodness gracious.
Right after the don't text and drive one.
Whoa, don't do that.
They're both dangerous.
Very much so. So what we'll do is we'll take our first break. That way we'll give him, because it's been 2 weeks. You know, we have to be able to hear what he has to say about the world.
You know, it's amusing. The Yankees, you know, the 2 weeks he's been off, the Yankees have kind of gotten themselves right without his righteous anger. I wonder what that says.
It says that now that he's watching again, they're going to lose. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn what they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
All right, great to have you with us. We now bring in the defending Olympic gold medalist in whining, moaning, and complaining. Congratulations, Matt Controllo.
I'm sorry. I'm stunned. I didn't have a speech prepared. Thank you for the incredible award.
You earned it, believe me.
Well, Steve, before I get to that, I do want to start on a solemn note. As obviously you know, and a lot of people in our area know now, the passing of our great colleague, Joe McGranahan, on Saturday. Obviously was unexpected, so I just wanted to put out a few words real quick, if you don't mind. And with Joe, for me personally, when I was news director at WKOK. He was just a tremendous support for me and resource for me. And then when I was program director and news director in my last few months at the station, he was really a great person to work with when he was just hosting On the Mark himself, in terms of what he wanted and what he wanted for the show and things like that. He was always a great news tip source for me, always kept me up to date what was going on, obviously with Shamokin Dam, being the mayor of Shamokin Dam, with other breaking news and other things happening across the area, since he was involved, of course, with the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce as the Transportation Committee Chairman. And as a broadcaster himself, obviously, there's just so many accomplishments for him to talk about that I don't have time for. But just as a broadcaster himself, obviously he's got his own career on air, but everything that he did at Sunbury Broadcasting, with getting 94KX on the air, for continuing the growth of WKOK, this station, and others. He was there for such a long time, brought in a lot of good people. And then going to his time as mayor and just as a business leader, he really, to me, was the definition of what a leader is supposed to be, especially with the way things are nowadays across all platforms. Joe wanted to see this area thrive as best he can and continue to grow. He truly loved this area, and you're definitely seeing the fruits of his labor. I mean, obviously, it starts with the DSVT project. That was an idea that he took to heart years and years ago. Didn't think it was going to really get anywhere. Kind of turned a lot of wheels in Harrisburg, and then finally got going after some a lot of downtime, and then it's now turned into what it is now, with the northern section now complete, the river bridge, and then the southern section is going to be completed in a few years. So that was all Joe McGranahan and what he did and what it's done for this valley. It's just a tremendous impact. And that's really the biggest example of what Joe was, and being the example of a leader, being the example of someone who's persevered through so much and getting a lot accomplished for this area. Also was a great man of faith, great family man. Mark Lawrence used to say his biggest role was Papa at the dinner table before every On the Mark show. And that was so true, and he's got a tremendous family. My heart aches for them as I deal with this loss. So Joe was a great man. He was a great person, and tremendous at anything that he did a lot for this area, and he is very sorely going to be missed. So before I get to my rants and the business of the week with sports, I had to start off with that because I was definitely heartbroken when I saw the news over the weekend.
Very well said, and we echo all of that. Now let's revert to your normal personality.
So going off of that, I'm also still vomiting from all the times that I am being slammed down my throat by seeing Snoop Dogg on all the Olympic coverage on NBC. I've said this once in the NBA, when it comes to NBA coverage, I will say it again. Rappers, especially Snoop Dogg, do not give you any sort of credibility whatsoever when you are bringing something as newsworthy as the Olympics. I don't want to see these guys just prancing around and just, you know, make it not a mockery, but just, I wanted to focus on the games. You and I have talked about, you've talked about this with pre-games, and this is me, from someone who loves pregame shows and this and that, but there comes to a certain point, and this goes over the top. I don't need to be seeing Snoop Dogg every 5 seconds. You know the guys I want to see? I want to see Mike Tirico. I want to see Catherine Tappan. I want to see Lindsey Zarniak, Maria Taylor. I want to see those guys with my coverage. I don't need to see Snoop Dogg prancing around with the Olympic torch and trying to make buddy-buddy with everybody he can under the sun in Paris or all the athletes. Let the athletes do the talking. I'm not Snoop Dogg. I'm just sick and tired of seeing Snoop Dogg every 5 seconds. The guy brings no credibility whatsoever. If you want to put him on a late-night show and mess around on there for an hour and waste an hour of TV time, fine. That's what that platform's for. I don't want to see it during the Olympics or any sporting event for that matter.
I saw Snoop Dogg at the Rose Bowl. He speaks very highly of you.
Really? I'm surprised to even know who I am.
No, it loves you.
Wow. That's certainly news to me. Because sometimes I don't think he knows who himself is at some point.
He wished you nothing but the best in your life.
I appreciate it. Doesn't mean I still want to see him.
It was very touching.
The next thing is what happened in the Yankees Blue Jay series over the weekend.
Yeah,
so
those of you that
didn't see it, is Genesis Cabrera throws a ball that he didn't want toward the Yankee dugout, and he actually threw it at Aaron Boone as he typically is. He's standing like with his arm on top of the dugout, and so then Boone saw the ball, fired it right back at the Blue Jays. Then the umpires came around, had a discussion about it. I think gave warnings to both benches, but I really didn't see anything pointed in either direction, and that was that. Say what you want about Aaron Boone and many times that he gets thrown out, and some of it I think is wrong, some of it I think is okay, whatever. You know, I've talked about umpires umpire integrity and all that kind of stuff. I've talked about that before. But this is a different situation. This is someone who literally threw a baseball out of nowhere at somebody. This guy should have been thrown out automatically for all the times that we've thrown on Aaron Boone or anybody else in the Yankee dugout for arguing balls and strikes or whatever, anybody else in Major League Baseball. There's another thing when you throw the baseball at somebody when you're supposed to throw it back to the umpire. So technically, you've broken two rules, and the fact that the umpires had a conversation about it and still didn't do anything is mind-boggling to me. This should be a no-brainer. Genesis Cabrera should have been thrown out automatically, and I argue even been suspended for a game, or at least fined heavily for something like that. You can't have that going on in baseball. Come on now. So for all the times that Aaron Boone's gotten thrown out and said stuff from the dugout, he shouldn't be having a baseball thrown at him. So I'm sorry. Genesis Cabrera should have been thrown out of the game automatically and at least been given a one-game suspension.
So we'll mark you down as not happy?
That'd be correct. Luckily, the Yankees had the last laugh and took 2 out of 3 from the Blue Jays. But, yeah, that was a weasel move on Genesis Cabrera's part.
So you're not happy?
No, not really.
Todd, your gauge on it?
Sorry, I'd moved away.
You weren't the first.
I was stepping away from the speaker blowback.
You weren't the first.
I mean, serious, for all the things that for MLB umpires throw people out for because they have no backbone whatsoever, to not throw somebody out for that, to me, after they even talked about it, to me is just unacceptable. And they did, later in the game in the seventh inning, they threw out the Yankees hitting coach. Now again, I get it; he's arguing balls or strikes. Whether you agree with that or not, it is what it is. But still, that guy should have been thrown out regardless. And then there's the latest from Jim Harbaugh. Of course, more has come out about the accusations against the Michigan football dating back to last year and possibly accused of violating NCAA rules, probably the highest degree of them, the level one violation. And then Jim Harbaugh comes into press conference yesterday with the Chargers and obviously says, never lie, never cheat, never steal, blah, blah, blah. You think I'm supposed to believe that? I mean, just given your track record, Jim Harbaugh's track record of trying to get out of Michigan to run away from his troubles, whether it was trying to get over the hump with Ohio State, trying to get over hump winning a national championship, or trying to get away from accusations such as this, then maybe I would believe you. But I'm supposed to believe that? No, I don't believe it for a second. Because guess what? If he actually was going to stand up to something like this and take the bullet for it, he'd still be the head coach of Michigan football, not running away back into the NFL, leading the Chargers, and, oh, by the way, taking some of his coaches like defensive coordinator Jesse Minter and defensive backs coach Steve Clinksdale, who also came to the NFL, and they're accused of the same violations. So, no. You expect me to believe that? No, I don't. I do not believe that whatsoever. Never will. And just going back from looking at this big picture, if you're the head coach of this program and you think and you're telling me that you didn't know something like this didn't happen. That's just, you're lying, or you're just you're terrible at your job, because nothing should get by you if you're the head coach or something, because that makes you the CEO of the program. And as the CEO of the program, you need to know what's happening, all the ins and outs at all times. And if you don't know something like that is going on, where you're getting accused by the NCAA of a level one violation, then I'm sorry, there's something wrong. So no, I don't. You should not expect me to believe that, and I don't believe it, and I won't believe Jim Harbaugh.
Todd made a phenomenal point yesterday, because I've been pointing out that it really is the first quarter of games, you know, the big games that you're in, because they were scouting the big name opponents. They weren't scouting the three teams that were on the non-conference schedule. No need for that. And I said, the key is you want to play with the lead. And the first quarter, if you play well enough, gives you the opportunity to play with the lead. And Todd then made the great point, and Michigan is the team that was built to play with the lead. They were not a come-from-behind team. They were built to play with the lead because of their running game, how they went about their pass game, everything. And Todd made the great point about that, and it fits in with how Michigan played last year. And again, to Michigan's credit, Michigan was an extremely talented team in 2023. Michigan was a very well-coached team in 2023. They really were, right? To the point where, I don't think they needed to do stuff like this. But the bottom line is, we all know they did it. They were caught red-handed. And it's always the first quarter, because during the course of a game, you can start to figure out sequencing on signs and things like that. It's the first quarter when you're trying to get a feel for it. And then you look at the games that they were in. Jumping out in the first quarter in Michigan State. Jumping out in the first. I mean, you look all over the place. Like, really? And then the game would settle down, but the other team's playing from behind. As Todd said, Michigan was a team that was fundamentally built to be a team to play with the lead, not built to be a team that comes from behind.
Yeah, it is a great point. It's exactly right. Yeah, running
Todd's
the football,
right.
Win with defense, and then they had a mid-level kind of passing game. There's no question about it. That's a tremendous point right there. And I would also argue that maybe that's why they built the schedule the way they did every night. The numbers last year, Steve, when it came out, I mean, it was about as cookie-cutter as it got, pretty much through not only through those first three games when Jim Harbaugh was suspended, but even beyond that. So they really, not only were they talented enough to do it, but they honestly helped themselves with the way they scheduled that hideous, embarrassing non-conference schedule. They set themselves up for that, to do that, to get out of those big leads so then they can save themselves up for later on in the season. What was an embarrassing schedule last year?
Well, they were supposed to play UCLA last year, and they moved them out. And that was one of the moves they made to make it simpler. So, and look, it all worked. And if you ask a Michigan fan, to them, it was all worth it. By the way,
of course, because they have very low standards out there. It's do anything that you can to win a title. We know that. We know the Michigan football program. They have zero morals there with that Michigan football program, because they have become that desperate to beating Ohio State and to winning a championship. And that program has literally done whatever it took to win, and it's gotten to be that low.
I mean, but my question for you is, why do you have a 10-month-old driving your car?
Not driving yet, just working on the push mower. And again, that
no.
was from the older brother putting right in the training.
He
that
was behind the wheel of the car. I mean, you're using child labor with weed whackers and everything like that because you don't want to do it yourself. Now you made your 10-month-old your chauffeur. What are you doing?
I mean, with the way the hot and humidity has been all summer long, I need the help.
Hey, Todd, no offense, Todd. I think it's starting. It's actually getting worse.
Driving Mr. Cotrillo.
Join Geisinger Gold.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Birdie Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Yeah, that was kind of like one of those wipeout moments listening to Matt. All right, so I do, but I will say this. I thought what he said about Joe McGranahan was absolutely spot on. So, you know, now did I know Joe? I really didn't know. I talked to Joe maybe once or twice. I didn't really know him. You know, you have to remember, I'm here in State College. So it was only the times that I would get to Sunbury. And I'm trying to think. We had a party last year. And I did go. And I really got a chance to talk to Joe a little bit. I mean, he's an awesome guy, and I thought he was great on the air, and just an awesome guy. But I did not know him as well as Matt would have known him, or probably you would have known him.
Actually, so. I've listened to him my whole life. I've been introduced to him once or twice, but I can't really say that I knew him that well either.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, so. I mean, my KOK and KX has kind of been the soundtrack around here since I was born, so
sure.
I've heard his voice numerous times, so I can certainly say that.
Awesome guy, smart guy, and Matt knew him exponentially better than either one of us would have, so, yeah. As for the Olympics, you talk about Snoop Dogg. If you're doing an alternative broadcast, just to do an alternative broadcast, I don't care who they put on. In other words, like the Manning cast, that's fine. When they do the national championship and they have all the different alternative broadcasts, you know, Pat McAfee sitting in a room with whomever analyzing plays and having some laughs, things like that, that's fine. I don't care. But when it comes to the main broadcast, they need to stick to what works and not get too clever with stuff. I mean, I could care less if Snoop Dogg is on an alternate broadcast, because there's going to be a segment of the audience that's going to find that really cool, you know, cool, and they can tune into it. That's part, and they can claim that as part of their ratings. Of course they can, because they're the ones producing it. But on the main broadcast, I think you've got to stick to a traditional way of doing it, where it's about the event, the information, the athletes, and so forth. That still has to have a place. How about that?
I'll be honest, I'm not sure I saw him on any many broadcasts. I see him all over social media at the Olympics, and I think that's part of the reason that they paid him to go.
Somebody told me he did bad. I haven't seen him at all, so I haven't seen him at all. Okay, so yeah, again, but I haven't watched a lot of the Olympics either. Now, I was watching the 100-meter. Like, that was exciting to watch. Their coverage of it was not. I mean, their coverage was, to their credit, poor. So I haven't seen much of anything else because I haven't been around at nights. I've had a lot of Spikes games at night. During the day, you and I are doing the show. You know, tomorrow you and I are going to be over at the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament.
We might need an arc.
Actually, I just looked at the forecast. It might rain a little bit before and a little bit after, but it looks like during it, it's not going to rain.
No, it looked like we were getting the edge of the hurricane would be here by tomorrow, but it does look like it's going to be a little later.
Yeah.
It looks like it's going to rain like 3.5 days once it does get here, which does not sound thrilling.
No. And what's interesting about that is like the Spikes play tonight. They get a game tomorrow, Thursday. Then they're on the road. So I'm not on that for six games. I'm like, okay. Well, let me just for the heck of it, I'll take a look at that.
I was going to say, I have plans to go to an outdoor concert on Saturday night.
Who are you going to see?
My buddy got us tickets to go see Green Day and Smashing Pumpkins down at Hershey Park.
How about that? That sounds like a lot of fun.
It should be.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun. Yeah, good.
One last blast before summer's done.
Heavy rain occurring August 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Total amount 4.23 inches. Oh. But let's just see about tomorrow. Let's see. Should I put in what, Sealands Grove?
Yeah.
Okay, Sealands Grove. Okay. Let's see. I'll put in PA. Sealands Grove tomorrow. Ooh, heavy suit warning. What does that mean? So let's see. Tonight, some rain. 9 a.m., rain. Okay. 10 a.m., cloudy.
Huh.
11, cloudy. Noon, cloudy. And right around 70, 71, 72. 1 p.m., cloudy. 2 p.m., cloudy. 3 p.m., cloudy.
Let's hope my drives don't bring rain.
Right, 4 p.m. cloudy, and then it finally starts raining again about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So it looks like that when we're playing the tournament is the gap where it's going to be dry.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And not only that, the rain at 8 and 9 can soften up the greens. They can fly it right at it.
my boss played the Evan tournament over there last week, and they got stuck playing in the rain for four or five holes.
Oh, that's awful.
And not a light rain either.
Really?
No.
Oh, man.
No, but he kept showing the video of where he made his 30-foot putt with somebody holding an umbrella over top of his head.
Must be nice to have people.
I would say friends.
Must be nice to have people. Oh, goodness gracious. This can't be right. You're saying in State College, in the next hour, that's got to be 0.179.
Can't
an inch of rain next hour?
Yeah, we're supposed to get nasty thunderstorms this evening.
Yeah, I know that, but an inch in an hour? No.
Because
the next hour is 0.62, then it's 0.000, and then 104, then 0 again for tonight. So I don't know what's going to happen with the Spikes game. I don't know if we're going to start the. I assume we're going to start the game, go as far as we can, and go from there. And tomorrow, here, same story here. Middle of the day, nothing, and actually, light rain, like 5 o'clock light rain. So they'll probably play tomorrow. And Thursday is going to be a problem. No, Thursday's not that bad. Then we get to Friday. Friday, Saturday. See, this is where the remnants of the hurricane tropical storm come into play.
Well, I think it's probably hit or I think it probably like it always does in these things is how far in the coast it comes.
Yeah. 4.2 inches. You gotta be kidding me. That's in Sealands Grove.
Oh, good.
That's over the next week.
I live on high ground, thank heavens.
Yeah. Here in State College, it's the same thing. 4.29 over the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days. Okay. Well, I'm glad my mower still works.
I was going to say I'm a little behind on my lawn by the time that rain's over. I might lose my dog in my backyard.
Where's the dog? I don't know. Wish we knew. We don't know. That can't be right. We can't be getting an inch of rain in the next hour. Can't be. mean,
well, if you are, be careful.
I'm saying if I was in Tampa, yeah, I could see the next, you know, or whatever. What the heck? How about that? The White Sox have lost 21 in a row. I'm no expert. That's not good.
I saw that if you took their 14-game losing streak out and this losing streak out, they'd still have the worst record in baseball.
Oh, that's not good.
No.
When you take the losing streak out and you're still awful?
No.
That's pathetic. Look, they're an interesting team, at franchise. And let me get into a couple of interesting parts. First of all, their farm system is eh. Right, so there's not a lot of help on the horizon there yet. But then there's how they're running this team. Now, the pitcher they did not deal. Luis Robert they did not deal. Okay. Right? That part, like, okay, all right, let's see what they want to do with it. But remember where they were. They had Jose Abreu, MVP. They had Timmy Anderson. They go with Robert and a few other guys. They had some pitchers. And remember who caught the brunt of he's not with the times. He is somebody that games passed him by. The whole thing was Tony La Russa. And the whole thought process was we need to get rid of him. They kept getting a lot of outside pushback, social media, saying that Tony La Russa needed to go. Now, did Tony La Russa make a couple of interesting moves that were like, really? I don't think I would have done that. But they got rid of him. All right. Again, the ability to tune out some stuff is important. They don't do that. But then they made the move now this is not a baseball move, but this is a publicity move with Jason Benetti. And Jason, and you know I'm friends with Jason, got out. And he ended up going to the Tigers. Well, you went from having an ultra-professional broadcast with Jason Benetti and Steve Stone. Now that's really, for a local TV broadcast, that's top shelf. All right? I mean, this was very much the equivalent of the Red Sox not renewing Don Orsillo, who ends up going to San Diego, and he and Mark Grant have been a top shelf team since, which was baffling. But when you're sitting in a conference room and saying, okay, let's talk about our pluses and our problems. Their broadcast on TV of Benetti and Stone should have been, hey, we're great there. Don't even think twice about it. We just make sure we keep it going. Now let's worry about the ball code. And instead, they didn't do it that way. And that's emblematic of their organization. I mean, it's stuff like that. It's not a baseball move, but it's a bad move. And they've made a lot. Then on the baseball side, they've made similar moves. These are bad moves. They're just a poorly run franchise. I don't know. 21 in a row. I mean, now, Philly fans are hoping that they can lose two more, or they're hoping they can lose three more. That way they can wipe out the 61 Phils on that 23-game losing streak. Right?
They've lost so much, I kind of am rooting for them to lose at this point. I just want to see how many they can lose in a row. That's got to be brutal, though.
You know, I talked
to... If you care.
No, but remember Derek Williams was on the broadcast with Jack Ham and I? And, you know, yeah, we go out to dinner and talk and the whole thing. And remember, Derek finally talked about the year the Detroit Lions went 0-16. He was on that team. And Todd, he said, for all the players, it was the most miserable time of their lives. They were doing everything they could to win a game. Like, everything. It was tearing them all up, trying to figure out ways to win, and they couldn't win a game. They said it was as miserable as it could possibly be. Well, that's, you know, now take that's a 16-game season. Take that and multiply it times 10, because it's a 162-game season.
Plus, now I think they're in Oakland now with, you know, with nobody, you know, nobody around to watch the A's, and just it's just got to be a trudge at this point. Just the time just must move so slow.
Hey, you're sitting there in the second largest city in the country, Major League Baseball, and you know the Cubs are the Cubs, and they are beloved. At the White Sox, of course, on the South Side, don't have the same kind of following. But at the same time, this is the second largest city where your American League team is, and they're awful. And now they're playing in Oakland, and the Oakland situation has been totally botched by the city, by the Coliseum, by the A's, by Major League Baseball. You got to give credit. Like nobody in that came out looking good. Nobody. And so that's where they're playing right now. And it's crazy. And they just, when they play, they don't. And ironically, I just put in for tickets today for that Patriots Day game, and it's the White Sox. I hope between now and April 21st, they don't like pull it together. I want to go and see them win. I want to see the Red Sox win.
and the thing is, you know, like you said, their farm system isn't very good. They you know, even when they made those trades to the Cardinals, you know, most teams they trade one for three and end up, you know, you play the lottery, you know, you get 8-10 prospects back, you know at least one or two might turn into something, and they turn that trade into with the Cardinals into like a 3-for-3 or 3-for-4 thing, where they only got four prospects back, which puts pressure on, you know, it's a lot easier to hit, you know, 1 out of 8, 2 out of 9 than it is to hit, you know, 2 out of 4, mm-hmm. obviously. So it's a strange situation the whole way around.
Yeah. Now Shane Reardon, who works for the Score in Chicago, 670 The Score, put this tweet out, and what day was it? It was July 30th. Report, the White Sox clubhouse is fractured. The first game back from the All-Star break, manager Pedro Grifol told his team, paraphrasing, that if this goes down as one of the worst seasons ever, it's absolutely no one but the players. Also, running and batting practice have now been mandated. Okay. Now, John Schifrin, the play-by-play guy, hasn't helped himself at all in all of this. As we all know, we've talked about it before, just in general terms. But he said this, Gavin Sheets has been a huge clubhouse voice, especially recently. There was what I don't want to call it an article, a statement, Schifrin said while seemingly referring to Gavin Sheets. It was just bad reporting put out there that Pedro Grifol had lost the clubhouse, basically saying that Pedro Grifol made some statements about if the losing streak happens, it's on the team. It never happened. It was purely awful reporting by a non-reporter, and a radio station in town went with it because that's what they do. Gavin spoke up for Pedro, he said. That's not what happened. That's not true. And it was taken out of context. And even though nobody wants to be in this situation, it just shows you how this team is still together as one unit trying to put it all together. Yeah. And then Shane Reardon said, you're not correct, John, but do your thing, my man. It's like, this is the way it is. It's in the media. It's with the team. All right? And Reardon said, when it comes to this, he said, I'm just tired of it, man, Reardon said. I'm tired of it. And if the White Sox were good, we wouldn't have to deal with any of this. I wouldn't care if John Schifrin's good at his job. And he's been... It's one thing about a play-by-play guy. Look, you're around the team. like all the time. I got it. But you got to know when to say something and when not to say something. You can't go overboard about it. I don't know. And remember, they had Jason Benetti.
How would you like to be at the Sheets family fans Thanksgiving, where Gavin and Larry can talk about long losing streaks? Wasn't Larry Sheets on that Orioles team that lost 21 to start the season, I think?
And I just would not claim them really as the common denominator of actually good players.
Yeah.
It's kind of cruel.
Yes.
Right? It's kind of cruel. Oh, well. We'll take a break. Back with more in a moment. This half hour brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.